Armstrong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
And good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for July 22nd. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Dustin. How you doing, Dustin?
Hey, Taryn, I'm doing great. How you doing, man?
I'm great. Had a fun time last night. I was on Twitch again watching the Fallout. We've got, you know, for a week that where nothing matters, seemingly everything matters, and we're getting just the best possible outcomes for the most possible insanity.
Yeah, it's like the Seinfeld of Big Brother live feeds.
Yeah, something along those lines. We are here to talk to you about everything that happened yesterday on the live feeds, and we've got a doozy for you, so strap in. We start the day with the veto pick, and as you probably know, Caitlin is hoping that Fessy is going to use the veto on her, so she wants to pick him in the veto pick. He did promise that he would use the veto on her, so she's all pumped up. She's thinking like, all right, gonna pick Fessy in the veto. Everything's gonna be cool. Fessy does get picked in the veto by Haley.
Yeah, and just bookmark everything you just said for the rest of the drama for the night. Because yeah, she didn't get to pick him. She just drew a name, but Haley did pick him, and that is another conversation he had in the past. All the nominees want Fessy to pick him and to use the veto power on him on them. So, oh my God, this is where we get started, Taryn.
Oh yes, oh yes. So we have Fessy. It was picked by Haley to play in the veto. Rockstar and JC are also going to be playing in the veto. Right away, Caitlin is going to Fessy. Like, did you tell Haley to pick you? Why did you do that? Why did you do that? You promised me that you were going to use the veto on me. Why would you go to Haley and tell her to pick you? What's going on, Fessy? And Fessy is just like, I don't know. Like, he's just his regular self. Like, I don't know what's going on. I'm in a tough spot. And she's like, you're in a tough spot. I'm on the block. What are you talking about? And this is round one. Like 11.
She has a point there. I mean, you can't mistake that she has a point. She is on the block in a much more tougher spot than he is. But if he hadn't talked to Haley and said, hey, pick me for the competition, he wouldn't be in the competition and none of this would be happening anyway. So we wouldn't have the drama of who's he going to pick and whether or not, you know, yeah, whether or not he would be able to save her in the first place. Who knows who it would have been if that conversation hadn't have been had.
Yeah, and Fessy's true dilemma here is that obviously he would love to just throw the competition. Granted, he's not really capable of that in the first place, but even if he wanted to, he is worried that he might get chosen as the replacement nominee if the veto is used. So that's why he wanted both of these girls to pick him in the veto draw. But now, because he told both of them and he told Caitlin that he would use it on her, he's in this spot where if he wins, then he's in a really tough spot where both Haley and Caitlin will expect him to use it, while people like Bailey might expect him not to use it because they don't want to go up in the block potentially. But if he doesn't win it, then somebody else might win it and use it, and then he might be going on the block, so he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, best case scenario for him, if you take away his fear of being put on the block, which there was a possibility of that happening, but the best case scenario for him would have been to just not be involved with this mess at all, because I'm not 100% sure that he would have been the replacement nom if something had happened.
No, I don't think he would have been, and he doesn't
know.
That's
just his paranoia, you know?
Right, and this is kind of what makes all of this almost even better, is that none of this matters. Like, even if he would have been the replacement nominee, he probably wouldn't have gone home. But even if he did go home, he would have been able to come back.
Right. Yeah. Depending on whatever this challenge is that we're going to see on Thursday, which, you know, as you so eloquently, or you or Leon, I can't remember, put it yesterday, it's probably putting the star block into the square hole, that whole situation that, yeah, you know, chimpanzees can figure out. So it's somebody is coming back in this house. So it's, but not everybody has that information. So I understand his paranoia, but still, my God, he just should not have been involved in this whole at all.
Yes. But Tyler, he stokes the fire here. He has a conversation with Fessy. They talk about the Women's Alliance and how they still haven't, they haven't really told them about it, like these women. And they're wondering if they should blow it up. And Tyler's like, nah, we have this information. But you should make sure you win the veto competition because you don't want to be put up on the block. You know, Sam might still be in on that women's thing. And if a veto is used and she has to name a replacement, you never know what might happen. So make sure you go out and win that thing. I think Tyler knows full well, because Fessy is going to Tyler like, I'm in such a predicament. And Tyler's like, oh, yeah, you should do the thing that makes this worse. That's what you should do. And Fessy's like, oh, that's what I have to do, isn't it? poor Fessy.
For an HOH that is based on women empowerment and there's a quote unquote women's alliance, both nominees are women. So the logical reasoning would be that the replacement nominee would be a man. Like, that doesn't make any sense, but you know, it's just a load of bullcrap being thrown his way and he doesn't even know it.
Yeah, I think this is absolutely Tyler trying to cause more drama with the other side, trying to separate Fessy and Caitlin, or Fessy and Haley, depending on which way he goes. I don't think Tyler cares which relationship ends up being destroyed as long as one of them is.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know what? That's good for Fessy. Good. Let Tyler help you. You need to break ties with one of these people because you can't keep doing this balancing act of going back and forth. And again, we'll continue to talk about the drama that leads to in the rest of the day. But this is just, it's just crazy. You can't keep going like this. So let Tyler help you out, man.
Yeah. And Fessy, I have a hint for which one you should drop. The name starts with a K. I understand that she's more willing to give you affection, but it's not all about affection, man. This is about getting rid of a negative.
Yeah. The K stands for crazy. That's what it stands for. So drop that one. No doubt.
Caitlin is going to have a conversation with Rockstar after she overhears Rockstar talking to Bailey about the swaggy backdoor and how they're still mad about it. They still haven't gotten over it. And this is going to lead Caitlin down this path of like, I'm going to be voted out because these people are still mad about the swaggy thing, even though I was just standing up for my truth and it was just me standing up for myself. But they don't understand that because they're just still mad about swag and they're still wearing swaggy shirts. And, you know, screw them. So she confronts Rockstar about this. And Rockstar is just like, yeah, I thought it was stupid at the time. I think it's stupid now. I think it was a stupid thing to do. And I expected more of you as an intuitive person that you would have known better, because you're just so intuitive and I had higher expectations of you, Caitlin. This was a very silly conversation.
This is both of them using that, that part of their being that is so in line with the auras and the chakras and the stars and everything, trying to one up each other. I've never seen two people that are so high on themselves because of something that should be so selfless. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And you know what? They're talking about something that doesn't even matter. This happened 2 weeks ago. The only person that cares about what happened to Swaggy is Bailey. And she's going around the house crying a little bit, but it, like, that is so in the past. The only reason that anyone would have to worry about what happened with Swaggy is Fessy, who is looking at it from the sense of, you didn't give me all the information going into the Swaggy vote. And that's, you know, a part of what the drama is on who he's going to use the veto on. That otherwise this conversation is irrelevant, other than to provide ridiculous personal drama between these two psychos.
Yeah, and honestly, about Fessy, I don't think he even cares about the swaggy thing. I just think that's a reason for him to tell Caitlin no. And he will grasp onto anything. But
wouldn't you?
Caitlin and Rockstar have this conversation. It doesn't particularly go well. Brett and Angela are going to have a conversation. This is kind of important. Casey ended up telling Angela that the power is definitely going to be used this week. So Angela now knows. She ends up telling Brett, and now Brett knows the power is automatically going to be used this week. Brett's kind of annoyed. He's like, if it's going to be automatically used, why the hell didn't she use it last week? It's a good point.
Right. Yeah. That entire side, now that they have all the information, it's like, why would you not use this on Winston as he's walking out the door? And it is a good point. But at the same time, you have to look at it from Sam's perspective. And I think it's a little bit easier for us as an audience to see it from Sam's perspective. She wants to use it on herself. Like, you know, if it was the case that moving into week four, she had to use it on herself, and then she didn't have that because she used it on Winston, what good was it? I get that. But yeah, if I was Brett, I'd be like, my bro walked out the door. I need my bro back. Give me my bro. Use the power. And Angela is finding out this information as well. And of course she's pissed. And so I can understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, according to Sam, the reason she didn't use it is because it wasn't fair, and she wants the game to be fair and everyone to have their own shot and to be honest and not have any drama.
Well, she is the higher power that resides over the Big Brother house. She is able to remove herself as like an out-of-body experience just to preside over the entire game. She is fair and balanced and just. She is the god of Big Brother, Sam.
We'll talk a little more about Sam, but every single word that comes out of her mouth sounds like the most condescending thing I've ever heard. Like, I am so out on Sam now. Like, I just find her so annoying. Like, she just, like, she speaks to you as though she speaks from on high, and that she has all of the knowledge, and that she is, she has been enlightened. Like, she is part of the enlightened, and she is deigning to speak to you and give you some advice about, like, you know, I'm in this perfect place, but this is how you can improve your life. And it's all gobbledygook. Like, it's nonsense. It's ridiculous. This is like one of the worst cases. She was already feeling this way. Now she has the power and HOH. She legitimately feels like a higher power in this house.
It's the worst case of itis, the HOH itis that I've seen in a while. Granted, she does have more information about everything that's going on than most people in the house. So I get that part of it. But yeah, you know, last time I was on the podcast with you a couple of weeks ago, I said that, you know, Sam is from my hometown. I'm rooting for her and all this. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and backtrack that. This is a little too much, girl. You need to bring yourself back down to the ground and realize that you're just people playing a game, and you don't have this like grand like vision in your head. This is, people are being lied to, and you need to just realize that, you know, nobody has all the information, and you're not better than anyone because you have a little bit more information than everybody else. You're just another player in this game. You're not above it.
Yeah. And she keeps saying it's not even a game. Like, this is not a game. This is not a game. This is not about lying. This is like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah, she's wrong about everything, Sam.
Go to use your time travel device that brought you to the 50s for where you got your values, and use it to go back to Big Brother 16 or 19 or whichever one you belong in, because you don't belong on this season.
Yeah. She's just sticking out like a sore thumb because all these people are like playing their butts off in terms of what they're willing to do, lie, you know, manipulate and all this stuff. And she is just, she is an angel sitting on her Tyler cloud above everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Oh, man. All right. So then we have some more Fessy and Caitlin. I guess you might call this round two or three, where She's going to complain some more. They're heading into the veto. She is worried about, you know, like, what you told me. You told me about this. You told me you were going to do this. Like, you better do this. Zone and so forth. This went on for hours.
Yeah, it all comes back to this moment where Fessy promised that if he won the veto, he would use it to save Caitlin. And that is where all this freaking drama comes from. And God almighty, they talk forever about this. And Fessy, you know, Fessy does not want to use it on Caitlin. Like, all he wants to do is just like impress Haley and do whatever he can to get into the heart of Haley. Caitlin is like this leech that just latches on him. It's a tale of two cities. You have one person, if you're looking at it from Fessy's perspective, he has the person that he's pining for in Haley, and he has the other person that is giving him every bit of attention. So he has to balance this, like, this is the person that's giving me what I want versus this is the person that I want to give that to. And he has this person that's giving him all the attention in the world, and Caitlin, but she's treating this whole thing as like, as if they're already in like a 5-year relationship where it's like, well, I gave you this, I did this, you have to give it back to me, you owe it to me, you know? And honestly, I feel bad for the guy. I mean, he got himself into this situation, but I do not envy his position one bit.
Well, I feel like it's almost like the attention from Caitlin is part of what causes him to feel so entitled with Haley, where it's like this girl is giving me everything, and I'm here for you, like, and you're not giving anything back. That's not fair, because I'm like turning this other person down. If it wasn't for you, I'd be with Caitlin. I feel like that might be true.
That just grosses me out.
Right. So you know, and Caitlin is saying, you know, this is right before the veto competition starts, like, you know, you told me that you were going to use it like my knight in shining, like my superhero. And you're my best friend. You're my best. They say that I swear, like, they do talk about bullying, which is annoying, but I feel like best friend has become like the new buzzword in the house. Like, yeah. Everyone is everyone's best friend. You're my best friend. That's my other best friend. I've got two of my best friends on the block, and you backdoored my other best friend in Swaggy, and I've got so many best friends. None of them are your best friends. What are you talking about?
Yeah, remember when we were in elementary school and you had a different best friend every week? Like, that's that's what it feels like. It's you're my best friend right now, and you should do everything for me. And now we're going to get in a big fight because you're not my best friend anymore. I couldn't imagine this. This is, you know, Taryn, I've been through some crazy relationships. I've been through some stuff in my life, and I can't imagine having to put up with someone that is that emotionally attached and needs that kind of, that crazy level coming at her. I can't imagine having to put up with that for like 100 days. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. After all this, after hours of talking with Caitlin, Fessy clearly doesn't want to have to use the veto on Caitlin. He knows, she said, our relationship will be destroyed if you don't follow through with this.
Of course.
You okay. So now you think, okay, at this point, it doesn't matter what Tyler said. There's no way Fessy would ever come even close to winning this veto, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. No, he definitely needs to throw it.
Yeah.
He definitely needs to throw it. That way, Caitlin has a better chance of winning it, and she can make that decision for herself. You know, and of course, Fessy wouldn't want to be put in the position where he has to choose between two of his loves.
Oh yeah. I mean, it would be ridiculous. It'd be such a bad move. And it would cause so much drama. Like, we just don't get those nice things. Those things don't happen to us on Big Brother, at least not in modern times.
Oh no,
wait, no, wait. Fessy did win the veto.
He did. Yeah. And that was stupid.
I cannot believe this guy.
Taryn, in my research, I couldn't necessarily find what the actual competition was. Do you know what, like, what the competition was?
It had something to do with questions. They had to answer questions. I believe Rachel Riley was there to host, they had to answer questions about something. I think the answer to the last question was bong. So.
So you can reverse engineer the challenge based on that, and we'll see how it goes. Oh, Rachel must be done with The Amazing Race. Spoiler alert for that. So clearly there is a possibility that if it's a question-based thing that he could have potentially tried to throw it. It doesn't seem like that based on the conversations he's had. We'll have to wait for some diary rooms to see if he pulled a Steve Moses and trying to throw it and, you know, accidentally winning it. But
He apparently only got one wrong. He did guess a few times, but this was important. Like how many he got wrong versus how many Caitlin got wrong, because this is one of the ways he's going to try and back out. Nikki in the chat saying they heard three different sounds that repeated in different orders. That's why bong was an answer, because it was bong is a sound. There you go.
Oh, it's not a paraphernalia device. Okay. Gotcha.
So yes, Fessy has won the veto, and as you might imagine, pretty immediately there's going to be some drama as Caitlin is super happy. She's like, yay, Fessy won the veto. Now he's going to use it on me. They apparently agreed right before the competition that Caitlin was going to throw the competition. Fessy got zero wrong. Caitlin is the one that got one wrong. I think. Yeah. They confused me with what they were talking about, because they would argue about this forever. But Caitlin is super happy. She says, I threw that competition to you, because I wanted you to be safe, because Caitlin was saying like, I'll just win it, and then Fessy was saying, no, I don't want you to win it, because I need to win it to keep myself safe. So Fessy was encouraging her to throw the competition to him. She apparently does so. She's so happy. And then at some point you knew this was coming. Fessy is like, you know, well, I mean, I need to think about it. And you can see the change in Caitlin's face. And as soon as I saw that, I went live on Twitch to start watching with people.
You know that. All right. That's the starting horn. Here we go.
She's just like, what do you mean? You have to think about it. What does that mean, Fessy?
Seriously, if I was him, I would have just kept all of this a secret. Like, don't just continue to say, yes, I'll use it. Yes, I'll use it. Don't even say anything, because she has kept him in the dark so many times. I think it's fair play for him to do the same to her and not use it on him. That's honestly, if I was him, that's what I would do, because you are just creating a 24-hour period of her constantly nagging at you about how she is better than Haley and how their relationship is better than his and Haley's. And good God, yeah, I couldn't put up with it.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're going to watch any of the countless hours of Caitlin crying to Fessy, guilting him into, like, I can't believe you. I feel so stupid. I thought you were my best friend. I thought you were my number one. All of this stuff. You have to, I think, in order to like fully understand what this conversation is, you have to like know where Caitlin is coming from, because Caitlin is not, similarly to Sam, Caitlin is not playing Big Brother. Caitlin is playing Big Boyfriend, and and she is approaching this conversation not from I'm screwed in the game if you don't do this. She's coming from she's in this conversation as a place of, this is my boyfriend Fessy, and he is about to cheat on me with some other girl, and he's telling me like I'm in love with somebody else and I'm breaking up with you. This is a breakup conversation, and it looks like a breakup conversation. It feels like a breakup conversation because it is a breakup conversation, but it's a breakup conversation with two dummies and one person who's like a crazy, like overly attached person. And that, like, as soon as you understand that, then you understand exactly where these conversations are going to go, because I feel like a lot of people have had these conversations in their life, probably around middle school or high school.
Right. Yeah. You got middle school, you got high school, you got summer camp, you got the first 5 weeks of your freshman year in the dorms. It's anytime you get all these people in the same place and the energy just starts swelling, and all of a sudden you're really overly attached to these people that you're making these instant bonds with. You look back on this, if you go 10 years in the future, you look back on it and you go, oh my God, I'm so stupid. Like, why did I spend any of this mental energy on these people? And Fessy is going to do the same thing. Granted, he's in a different predicament. He's in the Big Brother house and he is playing a game for $500,000. So he has to put up with these people to a certain degree. But honestly, and I keep saying it, and I'm going to continue to say it throughout this podcast, Taryn, I could not put up with this. I could not deal with this. I would either have to lie to her or tell her straight up, I'm not dealing with you. I'm going to save Haley and you're just going to have to deal with it. Or like I said, just not tell her at all and wait, pay the consequences later. Life is too short for this. Will they, won't they, boyfriend summer camp, middle school crap.
Well, but the thing is that Fessy is also a middle schooler, where he is like, well, I've got this girl who's in front of me, but I want the other one. And so I want Haley, but Caitlin is right here and I don't want to give Caitlin up if I know that I can't get Haley, because then I'll be fine with Caitlin. But because Haley is like, maybe I can have Haley, then I need to kind of hold on to Caitlin, but I don't really know how, because I'm a middle schooler. And so they have this like awkward breakup conversation where he's trying to also not completely sever ties. Rob in the chat is saying, in fairness, Caitlin did miss her real life breakup conversation, so cut her some slack.
She's got a lot to make up for, she doesn't even know what happened. Oh my God, this whole bit where she keeps referencing her boyfriend, she is going to come out of this house and be so embarrassed by this stuff, but it is gold right now. I'm living for every second that she mentions it.
Oof. All right. So they continue to have this conversation. You are my number one. You're my best friend. I feel so stupid for believing in you. You were like my superhero. I can't believe what you, blah, 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 blah. She eventually storms out of the room and says, I'm just going to go home. I'm going to ask to go home. And she heads straight into the diary room. I immediately said she's not going home, because we all know that she's not actually going to go home. But she did threaten to quit the game.
Yeah, as far as I can reason, she probably went in there and they already knew that was coming, production. And they probably talked her down, and she probably just needed a minute to herself to get all this emotion out, because we know that she didn't leave. People go through this stuff all the time in the house, and but at the same time with her, it feels like she's stomping her feet and throwing a hissy fit, and I feel like she's using this, like, you could say if she was in a real relationship, she would use the threat, well, if you don't do this, I'm gonna break up with you, versus in the Big Brother house, if you don't do this, I'm gonna leave the house. Like, it feels like the same kind of threat. Like, I'm going to withdraw my love and support. I'm going to withdraw my emotion by leaving the house. And therefore, you must do what I ask you to do. And so she threatened it. It was an empty threat, and nothing came of it. But it's cuckoo.
Yeah, this is only like round 4 or 5 at this point. There's still like a whole other set of rounds ready to go. Fessy has a conversation with Bailey after this where she says, dude, stop being so stupid. Caitlin is playing you. You deserve better than that. And so he's like, so Haley's not playing me? She's like, No, I mean, Haley's not that into you. Like, you're just don't listen to either of them. Listen to me. And Fessy's just like, oh, I'm confused. And she says, look, if Sam is not going to put me on the block, then just use the veto on Haley. Whatever. If she is going to put me on the block, don't you use that. And so that's Bailey's advice.
Yeah, yeah. And Bailey is kind of, if we go back to this analogy, Bailey is like that third party friend that you like, the best friend of the girl you like. You have to go over and talk to her like, does she like me? Does she not? You know, she's the one that she definitely is a straight shooter. And it's good to get a little slap in the face of like, would you just chill out for a second? Like, you're really being roped into all this drama that's not even necessary for you. Like, just chill. Like you said, if you use it on Haley, it's going to be okay. We're, you know, there's the potential of a million different replacement noms. We're going to be okay. Just see what happens. You know, you're not going to die. It's going to be okay. Just don't let that replacement nom be me.
Then Fessy goes to Haley and like the difference in what you might call manipulation styles is very apparent. Haley is like an adult. You know, she does not try to cry and guilt her way into a relationship. She just kind of flirts her way into one, just like very light, very like, hey, Fessy, like, how's it going? What's up with the veto? And very quickly, Fessy is he gives up the goods to Haley. I'm going to use it on you. Don't worry. Come Monday. I'm going to pull through for you. You better ride with me. After this, you better be with me after this. And Haley's like, oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
But what does that mean, Darren? Like, that has so many meanings coming from his mouth. You know, what does she interpret it, that as?
Yeah, I mean, I think she knows what she's doing with Fessy. I think she, like, yeah. At this point she knows, but, you know, what are you going to do? Like,
It's either that or go home.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not or not go home.
And like she you know, they're very close to each other after this. They're physically very close. She puts his legs on him. Caitlin is going to come out of the diary room and see this and be super pissed, as you might expect. You know, it's night and day, the difference here between the Haley Fessy conversations and the Caitlin Fessy conversations.
She is smart though, compared to Caitlin. I mean, that this is all she had the one up on Caitlin in that Fessy is pining over her. So she had the control in the situation. But if you remove that and you just look at their two approaches, Caitlin is going the guilt route, which, as you have mentioned, is not a great way to go in Big Brother. Do not guilt people into doing things, because even if they do what you want, they are going to hold that grudge of you guilted me into this, versus I have something that I can give you, whether it's emotional, physical, strategic, whatever it is. If you say I have something I can give you, please use your power on me. It's a whole different ball game. So obviously Fessy was attracted to that option, like instantaneously versus, you know, hours and hours and hours of conversation of Caitlin trying to guilt him into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. General advice for people in life. Don't ever use guilt for anything. Yeah. It not only does it rarely work, basically never works the way you want it to. And even if it does, on the rare occasion that it does work, hopefully at that point you feel guilty about yourself and the other person's not going to like you for it. It's no good.
Yeah. It's insincere.
Exactly.
Know, all yes. around.
So then Fessy is going to talk to Tyler again. He's like, I don't know what to do. Tyler says, as long as you use it on one of them, like you got to use it on one of them. And he's like, yeah, but I don't want to destroy my relationship with the other one. And Tyler's like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Tyler is just whatever he can do to dip his hand into creating this drama that just completely takes that magnifying glass off of him and right onto Fessy and all the other girls. He wants that to happen. Cause who would the replacement Nam be? It's it nowhere in the realm of Tyler. That's the answer, is that Tyler wants as much craziness and as much switch up to happen, because you take a look at what happened last week. You know, one of his numbers went out. He needs somebody to really create some stuff. And we know with Sam being HOH, the targets are going to be on the other side of the house. So he knows that that's going on. He wants this craziness to happen. And he definitely wants Fessy to stir some stuff up with these girls, because everything that happens in that realm takes Tyler one step away from being within those binoculars, that magnifying glass, get him out of there.
Yes. So Tyler is going to take this information and go to Sam. He's going to be like, "Hey Sam, just so you know, I'm pretty sure Fessy is going to use the veto no matter what." Sam is going to, Tyler, who I'm sure was feeling great at this point, going to take him down a notch, and be like, "Okay, so Tyler, so what's your plan?" And Sam's like, "Well, you know, according to my morals, like, I'm not gonna tell you." He's like, "Right, but like maybe like a hint?" No, not gonna tell even you. He's like, "Well, you told me like Rockstar, you told Rachel Rockstar like earlier, like, are you thinking maybe like it would be Rockstar?" She's like, I don't know. I feel like why bother with Rockstar? Everyone else is going after Rockstar. I don't want Rockstar to go home. I want Caitlyn to go home." And he's like, "Yeah, well, but I mean, Caitlyn would go home next to Rockstar if that's what you want." Like, and Sam is just like, she's a stonewall. She's like, she feels like she's not even a part of the game. She feels like, "I am better than the game and I get to play it how I want."
Yeah, and she also has this power over anybody. You know, she has all the information. She knows exactly what she's going to do, and she's not going to share it with anyone, which just is just a high and mighty kind of approach to all of this. I think that if she really wants to get Caitlyn out, she should find somebody a little less dangerous than Rockstar. But I still to this moment, I'm not exactly sure what she's going to do. She's holding that power over Tyler. She knows if she could share it with anyone, she would share it with Tyler, and she's withholding it from even him. So she's keeping this one very close to the vest.
Yeah. And if there's one redeeming thing about Sam, it's this, it's that, like, this makes it a little less boring, the fact that she's keeping it so close to the chest. Like, I'm not going to be telling anyone, because we don't know what she's going to do, which kind of makes, it gives everyone a little bit of paranoia. It's just like the way she goes about it is super annoying, but that's also a little bit entertaining for people, watching people like Tyler be frustrated as they're like, "What do you mean I don't get to know what's going to happen? Because if I don't know what's going to happen, I don't know what to push for."
He also doesn't know whether or not to use his power. I mean, it's not going to be him. I think he feels that it's not going to be him, but he really, really wants to know the replacement Nam, because anytime a replacement Nam comes up, that's his opportunity to use his power. So he needs to just 100% sure make sure it's not him.
Yeah. So she asks Tyler, like, who is the most like, what would you do? Tyler says, "I'd do Rockstar." She goes, "Well, okay, what would you do next week?" And he says, "Rockstar and whichever one of the girls doesn't go home this week." She says, "Oh, okay, well, then who is the most expendable after the two girls and Rockstar?" And he's like, I guess Bailey. I feel good about her. I feel like we're building something, but it's not there yet. So Bailey, and then maybe Rachel. And Sam seems to like nod like, "Yes, that is the correct answer." Which implies that she's thinking that the replacement could be either Bailey or Rachel. Tyler also then says, like, I don't know which person that Fessy is going to use the veto on. It could be Caitlin. It could be Haley. And Sam says, well, I wonder what Casey would tell me to do. Casey would probably tell me to do Rockstar. Okay, now I've got it. I have two plans. One for if Fessy vetoes Haley, and one for if Fessy vetoes Caitlin. I think my guess is that the plan, if Fessy vetoes Haley, is to nominate Rockstar in the hopes that Caitlin will go home next to Rockstar. And then if Fessy vetoes Caitlin, I think she might put up Rachel as the potential renom target. But I'm not sure why.
That's weird, though. Haley versus Rachel, like that, you know, with Rockstar and Caitlin, you have two very clear targets. You got Haley and Rachel. I mean, that's a weird scenario.
It could also potentially be JC, but she didn't talk about JC. I just know that, like, his name has been coming up a little bit. But honestly, it's hard to know.
Yeah. I feel like the scenario is going to be that Haley has the power of veto used upon her, and that Caitlin will remain on the block. And I feel like Sam will then go with that plan, which, you know, she's denying it. I feel like she'll go with Rockstar. That's just my gut. But
yeah, because she was saying, like, she was basically really heavily implying that she wasn't going to do Rockstar. But over the course of the conversation with Tyler, even though, like, he was barely able to make any ground, it seems like he was able to, without getting any confirmation or being able to confirm one way or the other, it seemed like he was able to influence her in the direction of Rockstar, because she eventually, when she said, like, oh, Casey would probably tell me to do Rockstar anyway, like, Rockstar, like, she'd probably be pretty safe up there. I think she feels like Rockstar is a safe bet to use as a replacement to ensure that Caitlin goes home. But again, I have no idea, because she did not confirm with anyone. She might have meant Rockstar's super safe in the sense that she's safe to leave in the house and keep for next week. I don't know. I don't know for sure what's going to happen there. And so I don't even know how to tell you who I think might be voted out this week, because nobody in the house knows who's going to be voted out this week, because nobody in the house knows what's going to happen with the veto. We don't know who Fessy is going to use the veto on, if he's going to use it at all. We don't know who the replacement would be if he uses it. And if he does use it, it would depend on which person he used it on, which person, who the replacement would even be. And then at that point, we don't know who's going to be voted out, because normally we'd have a decent idea, like a halfway decent idea, because we know the two sides and what their interests might be. But we also know that one of the sides knows that the eviction might not matter, so that might change their plans. So I have no idea what to tell you. I will have a much better idea by tomorrow. But as it stands right now, it's very much up in the air, and Tyler doesn't even get to finish his conversation with Sam because Bailey interrupts it. She comes to the door crying, and we'll get into that after we finish with this conversation.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas, Dustin?
Not really. I mean, I just put it out there that I think that my gut is that, you know, Haley will be taken off the block and Rockstar will be put up there. But like you said, even then, I don't know what the ultimate eviction plan will be. Sam knows that none of this matters. Like, that's the big deal, is that, you know, she's not revealing her plan to anyone. What difference does it make? The person's going to come back.
Yeah. Sam did say also that during the veto ceremony, she plans on when she names the replacement, saying, look, I chose not to use my power because I didn't think it was fair. That means that it expired, and now it is automatically going to be given to whoever is evicted this week. She's hoping that will soften the blow, and that, and, you know, so on and so forth. Again, I feel like the diary room will try to talk her out of this, because that would ruin a lot of their drama. I have to imagine they don't want that to happen. So we'll see. We'll see if it actually does. But, you know, we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine that they're going to let her get away with it. They want that Thursday night episode to have all the build up to the vote. They don't want the craziness to go away. They want something to actually matter in this week.
Yeah. Imagine like the Wednesday episode ending with Sam saying, well, none of this probably matters because you're probably going to get to have a shot back. And then like, then they'll be like, how shocked will the house guests be when the person walks back in the door? Oh, they already. Okay. Like, I really feel like they're going to shut that down.
Yeah.
So, as I mentioned, Bailey ends up interrupting the conversation with Sam and Tyler. She talks to both of them for a little while. She's crying because, she feels like nobody really understands her. She feels like she's not able to, she's not allowed to act emotionally like the other girls. And by other girls, I think she means mostly Caitlin and a little bit of Haley, given how much, attention Haley gets from Fessy. And that she's not allowed to just be that emotional. She's not allowed to do anything because people are intimidated by her. She feels like, you know, she has a responsibility to not be angry with people and be calm because she doesn't want to be the angry black woman. And Tyler and Sam are trying to comfort her again. Just like, this is what really like, this, like, I do think that Sam was trying a little bit to be empathetic and like, and yeah, kind, but also like super condescending and a little bit problematic. And like, I just like, this was a very weird conversation on Sam's part. Just like every time, Bailey said something, it just felt like Sam was condescending to her. And it was very, very strange. But it was a long conversation. Tyler eventually left. And it did seem like they bonded a bit. I'm not even sure if this was genuine from Bailey, because it seemed very strategic. She did break up the conversation between Tyler and Sam, and she knows that Sam operates, or at least she doesn't know. She kind of thinks Sam is more strategic than she is. But we know that Sam operates on emotion. And so yeah, this potentially, you know, cleared Bailey from being nominated by Sam. Like, if this was Bailey's intent to like kind of bond with Sam the night before the replacement nominee is going to happen. So it's hard to know. It's hard to know if this was, you know, strategic by Bailey. It's hard to even know if this was successful by Bailey, because Sam has these conversations with everyone and it doesn't matter to Sam because, again, she feels like she's a higher power. She doesn't feel bonded to any people in particular. But this conversation did happen. Bailey, told Sam some secrets that she was, she's won pageants. She told her about the JC conversation. Bailey, knows now that this is going to be part of the episode because the diary room asked her about it. And so, she told Sam about that. Like I said, it was a long conversation, and, Bailey has been emotional before, so it wouldn't surprise me if this was genuine. If I'm going to lean a certain way, I would guess this was more genuine than not, but, you know, you never really know until the diary room.
Yeah. I mean, it did kind of come out of nowhere, but you know, Bailey's just kind of had all this built up leading into this, and it's just coming out in this moment, which also happens to be a moment where she doesn't want to be the replacement nom. But still, you know, I think ultimately Sam did connect with her in this conversation. I think it's good, at least on a human level, maybe not on a strategic level, but on a human level, I think she saw that, you know, okay, we're now speaking each other's language, and I can see you as a real emotional person, which is what Sam connects to.
Yeah. Just strange in general, especially because Sam is just like so hard to, cause like, again, like she's had these conversations, like she had a genuine conversation with Rachel the other day, and now it seems like she might be nominating Rachel. She had a wonderful conversation with Swaggy about all sorts of things and then voted him out. Yeah. Like, it's just hard to know like what actually gets through to Sam. So we'll have to see. Yeah. But it did seem like Sam was not leaning toward Bailey as the nominee. I've skipped over some of Rockstar complaining about Brett. I think I talked plenty about that, but she was, yeah, probably like a good 90% of what happened yesterday was happening today with Rockstar and Brett. And then we'll skip over some Caitlin and Fessy rounds. Toward the end, they're going at it again at night, and she is full on, like, again, middle schooler, like, pulling every manipulative thing that a child would pull out of her bag of tricks. I thought we were so close, and if you cared about me, you would do this, and if you care about both of us, you would do this, and I can't believe this, and so on and so forth. At one point, she even tries to whisper inaudibly, but we can hear it, and she says, "This is so bad, but I'm just so effing in love with you." And Fessy's just like, "I don't know what to do about that." And she's like, "Isn't it so bad?" Yeah, because you were also talking about your boyfriend in this conversation. I'm trying to imagine what's like running through her mind, where she thinks that she is, like, because she's done the same thing to Tyler. She apparently did a similar thing to Brett, and she has a boyfriend at home. Like, she, like, what is in her mind that she thinks, I've won over all these boys. I've got so many boyfriends, and they don't know about each other, and I'm getting away with it.
Except for the fact that you're on national television.
Yes. I don't understand.
And secrets are not kept very well in the Big Brother house. This is ridiculous. She is an emotional tornado, this girl.
Yeah. So she's pulling that out of the hat. She is doing it just, again, like, it's hard for me to reenact the whole conversation, because it's just Caitlin in tears. And then anytime somebody walks by, "Oh, hey, how's it going?" Fessy. it's
see, that grosses me out too. Like, the ability to switch it on and off. That just really, really grosses me out.
It is like a toddler. I'm telling you. Surely you people in the audience have dealt with somebody like a child that is like this before, either when you were a child, or maybe you're like a parent, and you've dealt with a child who is just throwing anything out, like, no holds barred, nothing is sacred, any ounce of emotional manipulation she can muster, she's trying to throw out here. And Fessy is just clinging on to anything he can to have a justifiable reason for why he won't do it. Well, think about what you did with Swaggy. You kept that from me. That was a secret. And you know, she's like, I'm sorry about that, but I was standing up for myself. There are children, there are small girls at home watching this that are so inspired by me. They're so inspired at the way that I stand up for women everywhere by having multiple boyfriends, because that's what people can do nowadays. And really, really, it's helping you, because if Swaggy was still here, you'd be on the block right next to him. So say what you want about me keeping secrets, but I saved your ass. I saved your ass the Swaggy week. That you should be thanking me. Like, she goes from "I'm sorry" to "I saved your ass. You should be thanking me, you ungrateful piece of shit." She is a crazy person. She's doing everything she can to emotionally manipulate this guy, and he just refuses to outright go, "No, I'm done." And right. It's very clear that he's not going to use this on her. He's trying so hard to make sure that that she doesn't, like, hate him afterward. Again, it's like trying to keep the door open with the ex, so that if something doesn't work out with the new girl, you can go back. And it's just it's probably gonna work, because, like, I do think that Caitlin would take him back after this. He'll just take a lot of crap in the meantime.
You legitimately scared me with all of that, Taryn. Your performance.
Right? What have I been saying? I'm trying to convey this to you guys.
You, it got across. Everything that you just performed for us is terrifying. And the reasoning afterwards that you just put out there is completely logical and ridiculous at the same time. And it frightens me. I'm worried for the safety of the people in the house and the safety of the people that are outside of the house when she gets voted out. Hopefully not before the jury.
Dustin and I, we're on the same page here.
Seriously, I'm terrified.
All right, yeah. Melissa says, Tarrant deserves a daytime Emmy for this.
Yes, you do, sir.
I deserve
You deserve a daytime. You are among the Susan Lucci's and everybody else that has won those beautiful daytime Emmys. You deserve the gold, my friend.
All right. Anything else you want to bring up, Dustin, about today?
I can't really think of anything other than Caitlin at the end of all of this said that eventually, somewhere down the line, somewhere in the future, she might be able to find forgiveness for Fessy if he uses the veto on Haley. Yeah, that's not going to happen. She will remember that till the day she dies.
Oh, yeah. I just want to say again, this had the potential to be the dud week where we're just carried on through the momentum of the previous weeks because the strategy has been so good. The drama has been so good. But the competition outcomes have been so perfect, between Sam, who is a crazy person, winning the HOH, and then Fessy, who is a crazy person, winning the veto, and having to choose between Caitlin and Haley and everything. And these people are just like perfect. The chemistry between them is perfect. It's just it's working out perfectly. There's a very good chance that we're going to see Caitlin as the person voted out, and she's going to be pissed, and she's going to come back into the house pissed. And it's just Rockstar is going to be like, it's a week after my daughter's birthday and you came back into this house. How dare you? It's
my daughter's birthday month. You can't do anything during the birthday month.
Yeah, this is probably the best dud week in Big Brother history.
Yeah. Who knew? I will go on record as well. I can't necessarily go on record, but the moment Sam won the HOH, everybody was kind of like tossing it up in the air, like she shouldn't have done this, but this is great. What do we? From the moment she won HOH, I was like, yes. This is great because she has all the information. She has all the power. I want to see what she can do with this HOH, and what she has done has led to some very, very, very interesting personal drama throughout the house. Not a dud week whatsoever.
Yes. All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. If you want to find me on Twitch to either watch the feeds with me or check out the Social Strategy Sundays, it's going to be happening today at 4 p.m. Eastern, where we play some Jackbox games, some strategy games, some social strategy games. It's a lot of fun. You can check that out on Twitch. I'm Taryn Armstrong is the channel. So you can do that. I will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern to update you on what happens with this veto ceremony. If the veto gets used, who it's used on, who the replacement is going to be, and then probably who they're planning on potentially voting out, who will then get a chance to come back in. So all of that will be told to you tomorrow. Actually, it might not happen. I might not know by tomorrow morning. I forgot about that. It might happen tomorrow during the day. So we'll just maybe get some more Caitlin and Fessy drama. But then I'll know the stuff for the next day. You'll also get Summer of Stein tomorrow. Tonight we'll have a recap. Jackie and Brent will be on with Rob to discuss the nomination episode where we'll see, Judgy Sam. Then Tuesday we'll have the round table. Lots and lots of fun stuff coming up for you. So check it all out. You can follow me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Dustin, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, even though I don't use it that much, at Dustin T West. And also, me and my friends have a podcast. I guest star on it every now and then. It's called Yeah Sure Why Not podcast. It's not for the children. It is a little bit explicit, but you can check that out. And we have fun talking about pop culture on that.
Yes. All right. So thank you again, everyone, for joining us. I will see you next time.